episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor today, and this is We the People Radio, might add, just in case.
Just for the heck of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And our sponsor today is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They've got a great stock of mowers and tractors right now. Go up there and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226. They'll take care of your service needs, your parts needs. They do it all up there. Or you can catch them on the web at PapeMachinery.com.
So do people plan ahead and fix their tractors when it's raining?
No, but we get a lot of people that call in and want to know how to fix their tractors because they, I guess, are saving their Christmas money.
Well, they've got time. They've got time, so they're going to learn how to fix the tractor themselves. How many do you get to fix after they fix it?
Oh, most of them, yeah. Yeah. Usually it's not a good plan.
So bottom line is stop doing that out there. Just take it to the shop.
Take it in, pay the bill, and you'll be much, much happier.
You could live happily ever after. Yeah. Well, all right. So today we are talking about Iran and the uprisings there. And it's something that's kind of getting buried, I think, in the news cycle. It's not, I don't know, at least over here. I'm sure it's buried even deeper. They don't want anybody to know.
No, keep it on the down low.
Kind of like China. We're talking about China a little bit, but for some reason, letting things progress in Iran, we keep meddling in that. But our guests today, Hamid Azimi and Fred Desmalchiel, decode that for us. Fred's been on a couple of times. Let's see. First time we had Fred on, oh my gosh, August of 2016.
Wow, it's been that long?
Yep, way back in the time machine. And he was the first one to kind of give us the heads up. I met him at an event down in Sacramento, and I wound up chatting with him and a friend of his who is no longer with us. He was a lovely man, too. And I thought, gee, you know, people should know about this. This is something that's kind of being, I don't know if it's just being buried or, you know, just with the volume of ridiculous news or if it's something they don't want Americans to know. Kind of my guess goes that way. But Hamid has a short time with us because there's a big protest today. I won't blow it and tell you all about it. I'll let him do it. But he is the communications director of the Iranian American Communities of Northern California. And you can find all of that at wethepeopleradio.us, the information on both these guys and on the event today that is happening. It is December 4th, 2022, in case we re-air this. All right, fellas, I'm guessing we're going to start with Hamid.
Hello, Aaron and Fred. So glad that you guys have given us a chance to talk to you and through you to all of your wonderful listeners.
Yeah, the timing was terrific, actually. Well, not terrific in that you have to leave halfway through, but great in that today is the day of the protest. So I don't know how you want to introduce that to people, but feel free to go any direction you'd like.
Right. So let me just start by saying that we are the representing our community, which is the Iranian American Community of Northern California. And we have been active in this area for a good 25 years now. And people who are the member of this community, just like me and Fred, are the people who have ended up seeing the United States as part of their educational migration, and we are obviously enjoying this social and political freedom that this great country offers, and both of us, both me and Fred, have sent kids to school, universities, and they are gone and off, you know, houses and family and kids, and American dream of freedom and liberty, which is something that we are struggling to bring about in our country of birth, Iran, as well. And I think regardless of how the mainstream media has done its best to go with the policies that are being dictated to them by the administration, more than anything else, I should say, that the regime change and the democratic change in Iran is not necessarily something that you want to have in front of people every day and every night. For the last 40 years, people of Iran have been struggling to fight the new version of dictatorship that has been oppressing them. Before that, there was 50 years of Shah's dictatorship, and before that, there was the previous Shah. So all in all, for the last 120 years or so, the Iranian people have gone through different revolutions, different uprisings, and it's all for the good old freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of choice that we are still fighting for. And the last 40, the last 80 days, I should say, is we've been in the middle of what is now known as the New Iran Revolution. It started, as your listeners most likely have heard, by the vicious death of Mahsa Amini, who was a Kurdish girl, and Kurdistan is the western part of, eastern part of Iran, and different type of ethnicity there. Iran is a huge country. So this young girl was visiting Tehran, which is the capital, and she was harassed and tortured by the what is called the morality police for the way she was wearing her head covering, the head covering that has been forced upon people of Iran. And she was beaten on the head, as far as the reports go, and she ended up dying and acting as the ignition that exploded the power kick of 40 years of repression within that society, especially when it comes to women who have been the target of all of the oppression and repression in Iran for the last 40 years under this Islamic fundamentalist fascist or ruling them. And with that ignition, the country started seeing different rallies, demonstrations. It went on and on, and now that we are talking today on the 80th day of this new wave of revolution, there does not seem to be any sign of slowing down, and people are still on this, in the streets. The universities are igniting. The rallies are getting down to the primary school levels. And people who have fallen for this cause, the numbers are getting close to 700 people. Iran has 31 provinces, and we have seen rallies in all of these 31 provinces, in all areas in the country. And the people who have fallen, at least 60 or maybe even more of those, have been underage children, 18 and under. The youngest has been a 2-year-old who ended up dead because, you know, mom and dad were part of the rally and being shot at. Up to, you know, other kids, 16, 17, 18. And if the listeners just do a search on the internet for the Iran Revolution, I would see gut-wrenching images of how people are being shot at and how things are bad for the people. But regardless of that, they are on the street, they are fighting their own fight. And today in San Francisco, we are having a photo exhibit showing the images of these people who have fallen, showing the image of a young kid called Nikon, who was 9 or 10 years old, and he was shot dead in the street. And this kid, from all the reports, all of the little clips that his family have shared on the internet, he was a genius. He was an inventor. He had, or at least two videos that I have seen where Keon is explaining little things that he has invented. One little boat that he has made, and he is displaying how it's working. A little robot that he has put together with a plastic cup and a battery and a little engine that turns it around, and with four pencils that he has taped around the cup, and it moves on a piece of paper and sketches things. And these are the kind of resources, for lack of any other words, resources that are being abolished, they are being eliminated in Iran in this grand war that is going on between the people and a vicious government. And I know that Fred has a lot more information that he wants to share, but before I end this little long introduction, let me just add one point that your listeners, I know they care about it. I know they are concerned about it. But one thing that I want to add to what they know, what they are concerned about, is that this world of us is now a little village. And especially after, you know, the corona experience that the entire world went through, we should all realize that what really happens in any corner of this little blue planet that we have has its direct effect on all of us. And, you know, the farmer in California with the tractor problem that I completely agree should take to a mechanic, as was discussed at the beginning of your show, is and will be affected if there is another war in the Middle East, is and will be affected if there is no lasting peace in the Middle East, and United States and allies will have to go about doing business the way we have done in the previous century. In this century, you know, we should focus on peace and stability, and with a pre-democratic, non-nuclear republic in Iran, there's not going to be any chance of death to this and death to that. And everybody who looks at the situation knows that with a free, democratic, nuclear-free republic in Iran, the entire face of the Middle East is gonna change, and that would benefit all of the states in the United States. That would benefit all of us in California. That would definitely benefit the farmers that we have in this great state.
Yeah, it's a. I was looking at the information I had posted for you on the last show, and just to remind people that Iran is a country with 2/3 of its population under the age of 30. I mean, that's really notable. And you're going to take those people and put them under your thumb. And I'm thinking, holding the 30 and younger crowd under your thumb has got to be quite the challenge, which is probably why they really love all these deals that our country likes to cut with them. You know, the Iran nuclear deal and all that. I think that was one of the early things that we spoke with you about, because, you know, when you don't live in those countries and you don't maybe have a good connection, you think, well, the people in that country would be in favor of that. And to find out that, no, the people that are in favor of it are the government, so they can hold the people down. It's like, what? Wait a second. So then you look at what our government is doing, and I'll never forget it. When Fred and Ross told us, they said, look, what we really want the U.S. to do is just nothing. Just please stop doing it. stop doing everything. Just leave us alone and let us get this figured out, because the revolution was happening then, too, was getting started. We have to take a really quick break. We're going to come right back and chat a little bit more with Hamid and Fred. Fred is with us the second hour. Hamid's got to do communications directorness with the protest, I think. So we're going to lose him partway through, so we're going to soak up his information while we can. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Them. When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
And we're back. All right, Hamid, tell me this. Okay, having a you're showing pictures there. That was part of the, I guess, the challenge today was if it was raining, you were going to have to call it off because of all the photographs. But displaying all these photographs in Union Square in San Francisco, I realize exposing the issue is, I'm sure, the ultimate goal. But why there? And what do you hope to what do you guys hope to achieve from that?
Great question, and Aaron, let me continue by, you know, piggybacking on what you mentioned before the break about the young generation in Iran, and point out to your listeners that for the last 40 years, which means the length of the life of these young people in Iran, they've been dealing with a regime that every week in the Friday prayers, think of it as just like, you know, people going to church here on Sunday, the Friday prayers that they go and they want to listen to some spiritual guidance, listening to the people who are going to tell, show them good from bad and values that, you know, we want to pass on to the next generation. In Iran, what has happened is that the chance of death to America has been one cornerstone of all of these Friday prayer sermons that, you know, started within the universities, and they would gather people, and now with the, you know, in the age of internet, they are broadcasting it as live broadcasts, you know, Twitter accounts, Instagram accounts, whatever the government feels that is good for them. They use it to spread things like that. And from that perspective, it's amazing that in the past that we have started seeing this wave of revolution in Iran with different chants in the streets that they are calling for the downfall of the regime. We are very, very pointed slogans such as death to Khamenei, who is the supreme leader, who is the, you know, the head of the one-man show that they have in Iran. They are calling for his death. They are calling or, you know, bring death to oppressor, be it the Shah or the leader, pointing to the old dictatorship and the new dictatorship. And there has never, ever been one call of death to America in the past 80 days. There has not been one call, one chance that U.S. stop sanctions on the Ayatollah. there has not been even one call that says, U.S., come help with your military. Nothing of that sort, which basically ties to what you mentioned, that what people of Iran are saying to the world is that we are, as a nation, as a young nation, we are ready and willing to pay the price for our freedom. Nothing unlike what the country has done. Nothing unlike what, you know, I have learned in this great country about how a different generation had to pick up arms and fight for freedom, fight for independence, and rightfully so, you know, generation after generation, Americans are and will honor the memory of all of those people who gave their life for independence in this country. For us in Iran, it's nothing different. We have a generation that is out in the street trying to do its best to pay the price for the independence of Iran, so that Iran will become something that, you know, my nieces and nephews and, you know, my family who is left behind will be able to start enjoying the type of social and economical freedom that the rest of the world, and especially in this country, we are experiencing. So part of the reason that we are in the streets of San Francisco, and if, you know, there was any other place that we could go, we would do it in an instance. We are out here to show these faces. These are not just names. These are just not numbers that we say 700 people have died. These are 700 families. These are 700 fathers, 700 mothers, 700 sons and daughters, 700 cousins, 700 siblings, 700, you know, neighborhoods that have lost a loved one. And for everybody to know that there is actually things that could be done to help these people. The nations, countries do not live in bubbles anymore the way it was the previous, you know, 200 years ago. There is, you know, fact, and it was possible to do something in a corner of the world, and the rest of the world would not find out about it for sometimes years. And things have changed. Things are different.
Yeah, those days are over.
Absolutely. And things are connected to each other. Farmers in California are affected by any war in the Middle East. And they know they feel it better than I would ever be able to do. Businesses in California are affected by what happens in Ukraine. And we can all see and feel it right now. When pandemic happened, which was a global disaster, everybody got affected. So what is happening in Iran does have its effect. And obviously, you know, like, part of what we want to do is send this message to the people who are in different administrations, that these administrations also have a duty. You mentioned about how they, you know, they want to keep on negotiating with the Ayatollahs and make a deal. But, you know, from day one, as I'm sure you have heard from Fred and my friend Ross, and his soul rest in peace forever, that the negotiation is when, ever since that it started, it was basically closing the eyes on the real war that was going on between the religious fascist dictatorship and a nation of 50, 60, 70 million lives after 80 million people. This war obviously has two sides. One side is the dictator ruling Iran. The other side is Iran. Just like the war that is happening, the world is witnessing in Ukraine. Everybody knows that the two sides, one side is an invading dictator, the other side is, you know, a nation, people. And at a point, countries in the modern world, especially the United States, which is the number one economical and military force in the world, gotta decide that taking side from one side to the other side is gonna make a difference. If U.S. takes the side of Vladimir Putin in the war that is going on in Ukraine, obviously things are gonna change in a completely different direction. When the United States is and should taking the side of the people of Ukraine, we see things moving at the right direction, at the direction of honoring what the people want, honoring what it should be in terms of a nation that has come to the street and is defending its homeland. And this is exactly what we are asking for Iran and the people of Iran. Enough is enough by closing our eyes, and I'm talking these eyes of the administrations, on the fact that people of Iran have been suffering at the same time, have been struggling any way they could in bringing about democratic change in their own hands. They are not here. They are not asking us to send an army to freedom. But what they are asking for is that when taking side is the issue, do not take the sides of the Ayatollahs. Do not present them as some entity that, you know, you can negotiate with. There are no negotiations to these people, especially when it comes to the streets in Iran. So taking that side is going to make a huge difference. And we also have very, very specific recommendations for the administration that I'll be more than happy to talk about after I let you give me your thoughts at this moment.
Well, I posted Mrs. Rajavi's 10-point plan. I always post that on each show we do with you guys because I think that's a real wake-up call for people around the world who are unfamiliar with the revolution. A lot of times, you know, a lot of times revolution is just revolution, and it's just going to lead to another bad regime, and there's not really a plan sometimes. And this actually is very well thought out, and the only thing preventing it is the rest of the world sticking its nose in it and propping these guys up because they don't have the support of the bulk of the country.
One of the stories that's come out just recently is that the regime has abolished the morality police, and it's viewed as some sort of a concession to the protesters. Do you think that's going to make any difference on the ground as far as the people of Iran?
Do you think anybody believes that?
Exactly. What do you think the effect of that's going to be?
I'm so glad you mentioned this last thing.
Let
me start by saying that you're absolutely right about the people of Iran having a leadership in Mrs. Rajavi and her 10-point plan for the future. But that future is a future that we cannot get to until we get rid of this regime. And getting rid of this regime is really the key factor here. And as I mentioned earlier, the slogans that people are shouting in the streets really defines what they want. In the recent weeks, you know, whenever I've had a chance to discuss these with different people, friends, media, I have provided this example that when, if I go to San Francisco and if I see it, a group of people are rallying, and if I just hear, without even reading any of their signs, if I just hear they say, "My body, my choice," it becomes extremely clear for me what that group represents. It doesn't matter what my beliefs are, right? It will tell me exactly what that group stands for and what is it that they are out in the street asking for. It's exactly the same in the streets of Iran. People are shouting, "Death to Khamenei, death to dictator, death to the oppressor, be it the Shah or the leader, rejecting any kind of dictatorship." So the news that broke out today that the regime has abolished the morality police. First thing first, that report is really not accurate. What has really happened is that the head of the judiciary in Iran has basically said that we don't have anything to do with this. And it has said that the entity that started the morality police will stop it itself, which basically tells me that they are not taking responsibility. They are passing the buck, and they are really not serious about it. And at the same time, the same judiciary has announced that they are executing people in Iran today for their crime of being against the will of God, and which is, you know, the term that they use, anybody who opposes them. So on that day, on the same day, they are executing people, and the same judiciary has told in the extensive interview that was there that what he is saying about the morality police has nothing to do with the people who are in the street and who are using a non-violent technique against the regime, which means that, you know, you're getting shot at, and if you are setting the police stand that is shooting at you, we are going to catch you and we are going to execute you. So, all in all, the news is not really accurate. And at the same time, from what we have seen in the streets of Iran, my prediction, which is not just a prediction, it's, you know, based on the solid facts that we know about what is going on in Iran, this is going to be fuel added to the revolution that is going on. The first couple of weeks of this new wave of revolution, some maybe 2 months ago, I was asked by politicians here in San Francisco if there was, what was the prediction in whether or not what was, you know, 2-3 weeks old uprising would carry on. And my answer back then, which is my answer today, was that the reason that we are seeing a revolution in Iran, it's not just because Mahsa Amini was brutally murdered. It's because that there has been 40 years of repression, 40 years of oppression, 40 years of women being repressed in every way possible so that they become second-class citizens. That has been going on for 40 years. That has not changed and is not going to change. So the revolution will go on. the other factor. Everybody who is paying attention to the detail of the news out of Iran the last 80 days, there has been consistently reports that the group of young people who come to the streets and they are setting, you know, fires and they are really fighting the oppressors. They are young, they are organized, and there are numerous reports within Iran and in different publications in U.S. that points out how these organized group of kids seem to have had some sort of training and they know what they are doing. And they point out to the fact that it was not out of the blue that 24 hours after Nasser Ali's death, which was September 16th, so on September 17th, 2022, throughout Iran, everybody was shouting the same slogans. Everybody was acting the same way. So all in all, everything points to the fact that the Iranian nation has put together a plan. These young kids who are organized, which we refer to them as resistance units. These resistance units throughout Iran have a plan, and they are not going to be stopped, just like they have not been stopped the last 80 days, no matter what the government has done, no matter what government has promised them, or no matter how much force and pressure that the government put on them, they are moving forward and they will keep on moving forward. So, short answer to your question, you know, this ploy that the government has in announcing that they're going to eliminate the morality police is not going to work. It's not going to slow the people up. Down, and if anything, they will be pointing at it as a huge success, not in negotiating with the Ayatollahs, not with, you know, setting back, understanding that what they have done in the last 80 days is actually working, which means there should be more attacks on the government, more resistance, and more activity and support for the brave resistance units that are igniting this fire throughout Iran.
Yeah, I think it's actually sort of amusing that a bunch of backward, angry old men are going to try to stop the under 30 crowd from communicating. I don't care what country you're in, that's just sort of like, I think you're probably not going to win. So
I think it's actually just on a social level, just
a failed plan on their part.
Out of touch.
They don't know that they've lost. They have to be notified. Let's we've got to take one more quick break. We'll come right back. We are discussing the revolution in Iran, and I hope people are on Twitter following the Organization of Iranian American Communities. There's some great photos on there today. We'll be right back.
Just like everybody else. Pressure. You've only had to run so far, so good. But you will come to a place where the only thing you feel are loaded guns in your face, and you'll have to deal with pressure.
In the streets with our children and our feet.
Okay, so on the break, I was looking at some of the pictures at the Capitol. Is that the same format you're doing in San Francisco?
So in Capitol, you know, our colleagues there had the liberty of being able to use the wonderful, you know, lawn area in front of the Capitol building, and for us here, we haven't been able, in all honesty, a suitable same type of area that has traffic, foot traffic, if you want to talk to people as we are doing that. And here we have decided to do similar type of thing in the corner of Powell Street and Post Street, where there is enough area for us to spread out as many pictures as we can, and also put on display a couple of items. One has to do with Keon that I mentioned, the 9-year-old, 10-year-old inventor, which we want to highlight. We have one of our community members has replicated the boat that he has invented and is showing off in a family video. And the other thing that we are going to do is do a silent performance of what happened to another person who was killed in the uprising. His name was Khodanur, and a couple of months before the uprising, in the scuffles that he had with the security forces, he gets arrested and tortured, and then he asks for water from them. And instead of providing water to the person that they have arrested and they are torturing, they had tied him up into a pole, and they have put a cup of water out of his reach, and they had left him there, and they had the audacity to take a picture of him in that position and putting it on the social media that they have access to in the internal one, because they are blocking internet for other people. And in order to intimidate people and put fear in the heart of people that they should not be opposing the Ayatollahs. And fast forward, you know, we get into the 80 days of uprising that we had. So we are doing what we can in San Francisco today, and we are hoping that, you know, media would show up and do what you are doing in amplifying our voice to the American people, that we are asking for help in terms of not having another war, not sending troops, but helping the people of Iran in what they are doing, reaching out to elected officials and letting them know that simple condemnations are not good enough. They never were, and they are especially not good enough right now that for 80 days people of Iran have been out in the street. The you know, simplest way that it makes, or I should say doesn't make sense for me on what the administration is doing, you do not go about condemning what Russia is doing in Ukraine. You know, you condemn the first couple of days, and then after that, when there is a war, you have to take sides.
You got to move on.
Understand.
Yeah.
You got to move on.
That's
and
an excellent point.
You got to understand that, yeah, and you cannot just stay back and say, I have condemned this, and I'm not going to send any arms to the Ukrainian side, even though they're part of NATO, but I'm not going to get involved. And I'm just going to keep on condemning. When it comes to Iran, we are only hearing condemnations. Again, the request is not to send money, it's not to send arms, it's not to send troops. Iran is a huge country. We have enough oil, money, and you know, guns in the country, that we do not need any of that. But what is missing is that political support. And to be very, very specific, people of Iran have the right to self-defense and regime change.
Mm-hmm.
This is the political right that has been denied for them. We do not hear administrations talking about people of Iran who are in the streets have the right to self-defense. They have the right to topple this regime. What we are hearing is that, oh, we have stopped negotiations with the Ayatollah and we are condemning what they are doing. No, you do not condemn. You know, this is way past that. So the policy where the policy needs to change is before anything, before we can actually get the administration to do the right thing, is to ask our elected officials, our members of Congress, our senators, to step up and to basically say, you know what, after 80 days of ongoing revolution by this young generation in Iran, we are not only condemning the oppressors, we are saying that people of Iran, we are with you. You have the right to self-defense. You have the right to eliminate this regime. And this really ties into what you mentioned, Aaron, that this is not just something that came about today. We have an organized resistance led by a woman with a solid plan of, you know, a democratic, secular, non-republic Iran that will, you know, abide by international law. It will follow the whatever United Nations has to offer in terms of peace and equality. It believes in the two-state solution for the Palestinian-Israeli problem. It's not calling for annihilation of any country. It is not going to chant death to America. And if anything, it's going to, you know, create huge markets in the Middle East. A peaceful Middle East will create huge markets for the United States and for the free market economy in the world. Keep in mind, you know, I am old enough to remember the 1979 revolution in Iran, which was stolen by the Ayatollah and turned into this religious fundamentalist movement. And we saw in the Middle East, we saw quite a few countries that turned the wrong way and went after becoming fundamentalist, religious, you know, backward regime. This time around, in 2022, it's democratic change in Iran with the guidelines that Mrs. Adavi has provided in her 10-point plan for the future of Iran will create a democratic republic in Iran that will correct that wrong turn that the Middle East had in 1979.
And you just wouldn't think it'd be so hard to sell that. You know, it's amazing that the support isn't just 100% from our country. That it's just ridiculous.
We're going to get everybody. We need everybody's help. And I'm just going to drop off after this. So,
all right.
Thank you so much for your time. And I'll leave the rest of the discussion to the in the capable hands of Fred, and thank you again to you and your team over there and to all of your listeners.
Thanks a million.
For listening to me and for your continued support.
Thanks, and great success to you. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to our friend Fred Dosmalchi. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.